Hi, everybody. David Capes with the Stone Chapel Podcast. Welcome back. Now, before he died in 2023, Tim Keller had recognized the need for what has become the Christian Mind Project. You can read more about that in the show notes. Christian Ashkelon now is working with that project, and he stops by today to talk with us about that initiative that's going to be bringing together some of the best evangelical thinkers and influencers. Now, here's the date I want you to write down. April 20th, 2024. George Yancey, a sociologist professor at Baylor University, is going to be presenting a lecture at the Lanier Theological Library at 7 p.m. that night in the Stone Chapel on the topic of the anti-Christian bigotry in higher education and what, if anything, can be done about it. Now, save the date and plan to join us. If you can't be here on our campus, you can join us via live stream. Go and sign up for our newsletter at LanierTheologicalLibrary.org. Today, Christian Ashkelon on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Hi, my name is Christian Ashkelon. I'm senior researcher at Museum of the Bible, and I also am director of education for Inspire, which is an evangelical outreach that reaches out to next generation and basically anyone who wants to be inspired by the Bible and get excited about reading their Bible.
Christian, good to see you. Welcome back to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be back, especially to talk about what we're talking about today.
I know. I'm excited about it as well. You were with us before, and we'll put a link in our show notes to that as well. And in that podcast, you told us a little bit about yourself, so hopefully folks will go back and check that out to learn more about you and the Museum of the Bible and the work that you're doing there. But today, we're going to be talking about the Christian Mind Project, which is something that I think is just an exciting initiative that started, I guess, a couple of years ago, right? What's the problem, the need that you're trying to address here with the Christian Mind Project?
I think we've seen this over the last few years, but it's become really crystal clear, especially since the events on October 6th with anti-Semitism. It's become clear that culture has shifted. And so we would have presumed basic Christian ideas in, say, the 80s and the 90s, that even people who weren't from the Judeo-Christian tradition would have still presumed certain things in terms of justice, sexuality. These things now, this has fundamentally changed, and we see that there's a new mindset that's at work. Some people would even say a new religion. There's something that's neo-Marxist. People use the term scientism to talk about a use of science, which is more like a religion, so appealing to truth. And then a lot of times the science that's used in these kinds of arguments is not a very good science, and it tends to be 3 to 4 years out as the ideology changes. The science has to change to fit the ideology. But it's a deconstruction, so trying to find evils in the structure that are oppressing people and then to dismantle those things. So we're looking at this as happening in the culture. And the question I think that I'm passionate about is how do we reverse that and bring back Christian truth to this? Because I think there isn't just Christian truth, there's just truth. But I think ultimately truth is brought to us in Jesus, who redeems us, makes us in his image, and helps us to do the same thing to our society, to help our society be what it's always meant to be.
Clearly a need. I mean, we saw recently with all of the sort of anti-Semitism on college campuses, and that just sort of erupted, and the college presidents testified before the House committee that was looking into that and such, and a lot of fallout from that. So we saw all of that, and I think a lot of people feel the same need or a similar need. So what is the Christian Mind Project exactly?
So I'm going to read a short line to you, and then okay. I'll talk about publications so that what I've got here is, through a national network of collaborators, the Christian Mind Project engages college freshmen with evangelical passion and academic promise, recruiting and equipping them for careers in the humanities and social sciences. Okay. A fellow named James Davison Hunter, and we've actually talked about in private before,
sure,
has written a book in 2010 called To Change the World. It's a great read, and it builds on things that are before him. This fellow, who's a sociologist at University of Virginia, he coined the word culture war back in the 90s to talk about popular cultural fights that don't produce anything. In other words, there's dialogue, there's conflict, but there's no progress that comes out of it. It's just people profiling, caricaturing themselves, and then caricaturing the other side maybe, but then ultimately becoming the caricature of the other side. So he writes about this, but part of the argument in his book is that culture, as we think about it today, the culture we have today was formed by small groups of cultural elites maybe decades ago, especially cultural elites that are they're working together, sharing resources. They have a common mindset, and they do it typically within the media, especially we'll call it journalism, Hollywood. So this is popular media. And then the third one is universities. So our goal is to look at the universities and to create what would be a relatively small group, maybe over 20 years, 100 people, who might have a role like Joseph, like Daniel, like Esther, that they would be present in these moments where they might be the only evangelical in the room. But like someone like Daniel, they would be in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar 10 times better, and their voice would have that level of meaning.
So in a sense, trying to discover those people and then help them to flourish in an academic setting where there's a lot of hostility toward people of faith.
Yes. And our secret sauce is we're looking at launching this, what really is, we call a project, but it's going to be a network and not a new campus ministry, is just what you said. It's recruitment. It's finding the right group of people that nationally we'd think the intake for a pool of people who's specifically interested in the social sciences and humanities, a national pool is never going to be more than 50 people a year in a whole country of 330 odd million people with at least maybe about 13 million people enrolled in a four-year degree program. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for a very small group of people to bring together. And some people call this the Harvard effect, where the thing that makes Harvard great isn't really anything about Harvard. It's the students that it's able to kind of convince to come there because they think Harvard's the best thing, when really what the best thing is them. So you get those students together who, from the very beginning, potentially have this common passion, which you might need to recruit them to. You may need to suggest, hey, you've got these gifts. How are we going to use them? Are you going to the mission field? Or you call the leadership in the church or to a preaching ministry, or maybe the Lord would be calling you to a career in the social sciences and the humanities.
So why those two particular areas? I mean, why not, I don't know, science and math and engineering and those kind of things? Why those two areas?
You could address this in a kind of subjective way, which would be fair. And you could say these areas are important because even though you might not cure cancer in one of these areas, you do address the basic issues of life. You ask, how do we get here through history? What does it mean that we're here in philosophy? Philosophy is actually maybe one of the exceptions where there are some Christians in philosophy. Yeah. You talk about politics. You talk about things like race and gender, obviously, are huge issues. And the people who are in these departments, especially within their kind of whatever realm they live in their local area, but also in their area of expertise, they're the prominent voices for telling people how they should think. They're setting the track for where Hollywood and journalism are going to be going in 5 to 10 years.
So really key people for our culture at that point.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in this project? A fellow who knows the Coptic language and New Testament and manuscripts and so much. How did you get started in this particular frame of reference?
My own academic journey started, I went to the University of Florida because I had a scholarship. I was a National Merit Scholar, and that was just the natural place to go because of the money that was coming in. My mom had finished college as a non-traditional student, so a little later in life. So I was, in some sense, a first-generation college student, and went to the University of Florida and thought I could maybe sort out some of the questions that I had, you know, just having had a conversion to Christianity. Some of the intellectual questions I had about my faith and what I encountered in the religion department was, you know, really upsetting. And we'd just come out of a time in our history where we're going through the Jesus seminar and, you know, religious study scholars are voting with marbles to figure out which words Jesus said. So my hypothesis was none of these people could read the languages. None of them knew the ancient culture that was relevant to these documents. Shifted over to classics. But one thing that even in my own life was when I got to my senior year, I didn't even know what a master's degree was. I had it in my mind, if somebody said that you have a PhD, I could have somehow described it, but I didn't understand the structures. I had no idea what it would look like to apply to a graduate program. So even though I was an excellent, it was maybe top student in my program, I certainly wasn't equipped to apply. I didn't know what was on the table at that point. And actually did do a master's degree at the University of Florida. So it was what one of my professors called an inbred. So I stayed at the same university for the master's degree. But there's this path. And then the natural way to proceed being an evangelical was to seminary, and then ended up in Britain for a master's degree in Scotland and a PhD in Cambridge. Looking back, and I did a postdoc in Germany, I'm very grateful for my education. I think in God's providence, that's what I needed to have. But that education didn't at all suit me to coming back and getting a job in North America, and in the kind of school that I actually went to as an undergraduate. So that's, for me, it's an influence, and for better or worse, guides how I see things. The other thing is, in 2014, when I started with the Museum of the Bible, I was overseeing something called the Scholars Initiative, which was primarily working with undergraduates at Christian colleges. And we had several great success stories there. It was the program created research opportunities for undergraduate students. But it did raise the question. I started looking at things and thinking, how do you do this? How do you get your best bang for the buck, in terms of donor spend? How are we actually seeing our students? We don't necessarily want them to become more conservative from just for the sake of being as conservative as possible, but we do want them to be rigorously orthodox and actually to be living out their faith. We want students who come in to share the gospel more rather than less. We want them to be remade in the image of Christ more than otherwise. So there is actually a tendency, as people kind of walk the intellectual path, to meet liberalism halfway, which in itself, there's no good in that. Especially if we think truth is in Jesus, then the thing that needs to be reformed is not traditional orthodoxy, it's the world. So thinking through that constantly and reading sociological studies and saying, what would be the Moneyball way to pull this off?
Is the Christian Mind Project your idea then?
I would like to say that I've stolen a lot of great ideas from other sociologists. One of them is a fellow that we'll talk about a little later, George Yancey, who's given me the basic numerical argument for underrepresentation. As I've continued to read his things in terms of just even in terms of the way that sometimes academics have thought and are proceeding to think. Some of them are people who aren't necessarily looking at things through an evangelical lens, but are asking why are there not conservatives? Because this is a lot of the literature is dealing with this. And even looking at why does it matter? How does it affect things? But one of the key pieces that's influenced me is someone that, so far as I understand, is a secular scholar from California who essentially looked at the data and said, hey, look, this is not discrimination that's happening at the hiring point. In other words, social conservatives, religious conservatives, they're not being discriminated when the job is posted and people are hiring. This is something that's fully in play first year of graduate school, that we do not have social conservatives, we do not have religious conservatives in the first year of graduate school, that it's already happened by then.
So the idea then is to get them earlier in their education. So you describe this as a network. Who are some of the partners? Who are some of the people you're working with?
Well, for this to work, the main partners are the people who are really down in the dirt on a day-to-day basis. It's the local churches that are next to a college campus and see it as a key part of their ministry to minister to that college campus. They probably have professors. They probably have a college minister. It may just be that they work really closely with, and this is the other big group, is the campus ministries. So my wife and I have actually started two intervarsity chapters, one at the University of Florida for graduate students, and one at Lake Forest College in Illinois. So we have a special affinity for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. CRU is the largest, at least the U.S., maybe now international college ministry. Christian Union has one of the most important presences in the Ivy League. Radio Christi is focused on apologetics and philosophy and is expanding quickly right now. Navigators, Chi Alpha is Pentecostal and has a really strong presence also at the Ivy League schools and is probably one of our most racially diverse and internationally diverse college ministries that's on college campuses.
So there are a lot of groups then that you could bring together to help focus and bring this together, right? So in terms of the Christian Mind Project, does anybody do anything like this exactly? Ahead of you or before you or beside you or... I mean, because it takes more than one, right? It takes more than one.
So one book that gets mentioned a lot whenever you talk about something like this. Now, Inspire is evangelical. Our project is evangelical. Of course, we're ecumenical in terms of with whom we work. But at our core, we have a conservative Protestant approach to things. And there's one book that almost everybody knows, Mark Knoll, The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind, in which he argues that the scandal of the evangelical mind is that there's not much of an evangelical mind. His basic argument, I think, comes back even from the 80s as far as Mark is making it, but the book is written in the 90s. And out of that comes something called the Pew Scholars. So this is one of the earliest really aggressive moves towards getting evangelicals, specifically evangelicals, and looking at this evangelical mind problem and preparing them for careers in higher education and their success stories from that. There are a lot of groups working. The most recent large-scale endeavor is Veritas Scholars, which is a wonderful program. I went to their national meeting this last June, and it was a very impactful program. Actually, most of them weren't students. They're starting with early career and then moving back into graduate students. But these are early career scholars who have gotten jobs, and they're supporting them, mentoring them, creating networks to help them flourish. And there's other programs too. So UC Crew has a roundtable program. InterVarsity has a graduate network. Barry Scholars is a wonderful program which identifies students and helps them study. They tend to study work in Oxford, so they're doing graduate degrees there to firm them up, help them think through issues of faith, and also then point them down, you know, further graduate studies. So, and I'm sure there's many more that I've got on my list that I'm not thinking of, but
yeah,
we're certainly not the only dog in town.
Well, in April of 2024, we're going to have a kind of a gathering at New York Theological Library that we want people to know about. So what's going to be happening in April with George Yancey and the Christian Mind Project and FEHE and some of these other organizations that you've talked about?
Portion that's open to the public, and if you listen to this, I hope you'll be able to come to, will be a keynote lecture by George Yancey on Saturday night. Correct me if I'm wrong in that, but I think Saturday night.
Right. Yep.
And his title is Anti-Christian Bigotry in the Academy and How to Fight It. Well, he'll go after the question, and George has written really a great deal on the subject. I just have two of his books. One of them is So Many Christians, So Few Lions, in which, if I remember right, he's going through data that's come in from other surveys. And it's surprising how all of these thousands of people are surveyed, and this phrase, so many Christians, so few lions, comes back in different variant forms many times.
I've seen that on T-shirts, right? I've seen that on T-shirts.
Seen that. Yeah. I haven't actually seen it on T-shirts, but yeah. I didn't realize people actually say this. Now, in some of his earlier writing, he talks about how phrases like Bible thumper really is a kind of equivalent to some other phrases that would get you automatically canceled if you'd use these phrases against a racial minority, say an Arab. He uses examples for Arab minorities and African-American minorities. And he talks about things that would get you just auto-fired at a university, but you could say something like Bible thumper, you know, right? And these kinds of things.
It's a derogatory term, right? It's a derogatory term.
Now, but this phrase, Christians and lions, is actually, and he says, what would it be like if somebody said, so many Jews, not enough ovens, or something like that? Like, obviously, you just can't say that.
No.
But you do have this phrase that suggests, wouldn't it be better if all the Christians would be gone? But he looks at the language of hostility. He has another book called Compromising Scholarship. It's a bit earlier than that, where he actually does the demographic numbers, and he asks people, how likely are you to discriminate against somebody just because they're Christian, or would you even favor them? And the numbers he comes back with are really fascinating, because you know, in certain departments, they actually like Christians a little bit, but when you go through the social sciences and humanities, even the conservative departments have a double standard against Christians. In other words, they'll take a social conservative.
Right. That is the public-facing event. Privately, though, we're going to be gathering a number of the kind of student leaders you've been describing and the kind of professors and people who are influential and people who are part of foundations that might have an interest in this as well. So there'll be more information about that, particularly sent out. That's more of an invitation kind of thing. But the big public-facing event is going to be with George Yancey in April of 2024. So we're going to invite people to kind of check out our website, make sure you're alert to that. It is a problem, it seems like, everywhere in the country right now, and probably around the world as well. Christian Askeline, thank you for being with us today on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Thanks. The pleasure is all mine. Take care.
Hey, thanks to Christian Askeland for his leadership in the Christian Mind Project. Now, the date, remember, is April 20th, 2024. George Yancey, a sociologist professor at Baylor University, is going to be giving a lecture here at 7 p.m. in the Stone Chapel on the anti-Christian bigotry that is in higher education. We want to welcome some new listeners down in Puerto Rico. Thank you for being with us. Tell some friends if you don't mind, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And while you're there, just rate us highly, please, 5 and above, or maybe 5. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music, and thanks to Kathy Capes for editing this podcast. Until next time, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.